In St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, there is something really marvelous said, and he is himself quoting sacred scripture, but this is a phrase that has really always left me in awe. In verse 9, he says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what things God has prepared for those who love him." These are truly sublime words. How can we possibly consider how much God loves us? Really, this is a great mystery. It's one that we really can never know. I believe that even in heaven, we will not know completely. We will be, our minds will be enlightened to their fullest capacity, and yet this will remain a mystery. How is it that God loves us so much? If we take a look at the very basics of theology, which, of course, theology is simply the study of God, we look at Almighty God's attributes. We know, of course, that he has existed from all time. Another great mystery, the Most Holy Trinity, says that from all eternity, God the Father existed. And he spoke a word, which was God the Son. We hear this reflected in the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. The Word, that is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And the love which the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, had for the second person was so great as to constitute a third person, which is the Holy Ghost, the embodiment of love. What a mystery that God is so perfect in every way that he loves himself in a degree that cannot be understood. And that's a concept that is rather foreign to us. We know that we have a certain kind of love that with which we need to love ourselves. But it's rather narcissists or people that are obsessed with self that say they love themselves, but not so with Almighty God, because he is perfectly lovable. And so the question must be asked, why, oh why, did he create us? If he was perfectly content with his own perfections. And herein is the mystery. We do not know why God created us, except that he wanted to show that love. He wanted to share that love. And so what a humbling thought, really, this consideration of our creation is by its very nature humbling, because without God we are zero. We are absolutely nothing, meaningless. All that we have is in and through him. And what is a beautiful conclusion to this thought? Yes, we exist because of God, But more specifically, we exist because of God's love. We are here because he wanted to share. Marvelous thought. God knew from all eternity that he would create us. And he knew from all eternity that we would rebel. He knew that we would be sinful and ungrateful. That so many souls created by him would completely reject him. And we know, of course, that evil only exists in the world because love has to be free. But still, with this thought, even though mankind would betray him, he still loves us with an infinite love. There's an interesting comparison that I had heard one time, and it's really kind of silly, actually. And it serves to illustrate a point, though it's lacking in many ways as an illustration. But imagine, if you will, for a moment, and really try to put yourself in this mental space. Use your gift of imagination. Imagine that a man, we might say a very dignified man, a king or an emperor, one day stumbled across a little anthill. And he saw the little ants going to and fro, going about their business, building up their little hill and finding food, whatever it is that ants do. And he had compassion on these ants. How much, for some reason, he loved them. And great calamity came upon this colony of ants. And by some miracle, he was able to transform himself into an ant to go and save this colony of little insects because he loved them. And in order to save them, he would have to sacrifice his very life. He would leave behind the grandeurs of the castle and the court that were his as a human being. He would die as an ant. Again, rather a silly illustration. But doesn't it serve to show us the condescension that was Almighty God's? If we are to compare ourselves to ants, we're actually rather close in the grand scheme of things. We're still creatures of God. The difference between Almighty God and man is infinite because we are the creatures. He is the creator. And still, he loves us so much that he did this very thing. He left heaven to become one of us. And that was not enough, but he must die as one of us. We cannot fully grasp love like this, but we can try, and we must try. If we try to look for the love of God, we are quick to find it. It is really all around us. Again, if we go back to faith, remember, we have to begin with faith. We can see the goodness of God in everything. In fact, look at creation. The great Saint Francis of Assisi, this was one of his favorite things to do, that he would see God mirrored in his creation. How beautiful the sun and the stars and the sky. How beautiful his simple little creatures, the birds and the bees, the squirrels and the trees. St. Francis had the eyes of faith to see the goodness of God all over the place. There are so many little ways, I mean, and perhaps insignificant ways that God shows us his goodness. Does he not allow us to enjoy the taste of coffee? Those of us that enjoy the taste of coffee. Or all the other little things that they're not strictly necessary, no. And we can offer them up to give a little gift back to God, but he allows us to enjoy so many little things around us. Think of the beauty of a sunset. If we've had a chance to travel much, how we can be in absolute awe. We're not all that far from Glacier National Park here. I believe one of the most beautiful places in the world. And how is it that God arranged just so the mountains and the trees and the streams? Only he could do that. He knows exactly how to fill our hearts with awe at that beauty. Think, if you can, for a moment about music. Unfortunately, there's a lot of misuse of that gift of music, but how good and wholesome music, particularly sacred music that is used for God's worship, how it can lift our hearts. God willing, one of these days we will have the opportunity here at Mount St. Michael to have again an ordination to the Holy Priesthood. It's been quite a few years since that's been taken place here at the Mount. And hopefully many of you have had the opportunity. But I was just thinking of that as an experience. How charged, we might say sometimes that the air is electrified. It's almost like before lightning is going to strike, there's just a buzz in the air. And this is true at an ordination. There's the beauty of the ceremonies themselves, so deep and rich and full of meaning. There's the sight of the flowers, the smell even of the incense. The choir sounds like really the angels of heaven. And just a little glimpse perhaps of the beauties that God has in store for us in heaven. But these are only minor things. These are good and wonderful things for which we need to be so grateful. But these are rather transitory. We haven't even spoken yet of the higher goods. Those sort of deeper, more lasting things. We might even talk of not even spiritual things yet. What about the joy, the peace that comes from a hug from a loved one, the laughter of a child? Something deep in our soul knows that these are good and beautiful, and that why are they good and beautiful? Because they reflect Almighty God. So, but again, these are far inferior to the spiritual goods that God is so pleased to shower upon us. Let us think for a moment about the sacrifice of the cross. Again, back to that story, or the analogy, how is it possible that Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, would not love us enough simply to create us and share his love, but that after our transgression, after we betrayed him, he would come to become one of us and not just sacrifice, but he would give to us and shed for us every last drop of his blood. The fathers of the church say that one drop of that precious blood was enough to redeem all of mankind and to redeem 1,000 worlds in need of redemption. And in fact, St. Alphonsus says even further, he says that really one prayer from Almighty God, from Christ, Jesus, God become man, that one prayer would have been sufficient to redeem mankind because that prayer would have infinite value since he was God. But if that was enough to redeem man, it was not enough to satisfy God's love. What is amazing, again, a great mystery, that he gave his life, his death, to the very last drop of his blood. How could he possibly give more? How could he love us more than this? It seems impossible, and yet, somehow he is able to give us more. I'm going to read to you a little excerpt, and I was debating whether or not to read this to you. It's from Archbishop Goodyear from his book, The Passion and Death of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the fact that Christ, yes, gave us all, but in his last moments, he also gave us his own mother. And I say I was debating to read this to you because I've never been able to read it without crying, so forgive me. But this is truly beautiful. This is a reflection on the 7 last words of our Lord, and it's taken again from that book, Archbishop Goodyear, The Passion and Death of Our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus saw his mother standing before him, the valiant woman, erect, motionless, almost expressionless, with scarce a tear in her eye. There are griefs that lie too deep for tears. Excuse me. There are griefs that lie too deep for tears, and a mother's broken heart is one. He continues, she had given him life. She had lived wholly for him, the handmaid of the Lord. Gladly now would she die for him. Not only would she gladly die, during these 33 years, they had so lived together, their lives had been so intertwined, the union of mother and son, of son and mother, had been so complete that if we speak of nature only, even in death, they would not be separated. We have known of those who in life have so grown together that the death of one has been the death of the other. We have known of those whose death has been so terrible that it has caused the death of another. Both of these were being illustrated here. With his death, the mother's life was surely ended. Seeing him die this awful death when the moment came, how could she but die with him? But Jesus would not have that to be. Mary's hour was not yet come. Though he died for many, yet would he have her live for many, that out of many hearts thoughts might be revealed, as sacred scripture said. There was work yet to be done by her in this valley of tears. And for the sake of that work, he would have her live in it yet a little longer. So by a new interchange of love would his mother be saved to live among men yet a little longer. If she would die of love, by means of love would she survive. So too would the disciple whom he loved have, even in this life, an ample reward for all the love he hath shown his master. For having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The gift of John to Mary and of Mary to John was the last will and testament of Jesus Christ our Lord. His life he had already given. His blood he was now pouring out to its last drop for all men. In this last gift, he gave the only possession that remained. He bestowed upon Mary the motherhood of all mankind. He bestowed on men his own mother to be theirs, like his father, through all the coming ages. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." After that he saith to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." Also in this excerpt, Archbishop Goodyear, he talks about that very concept that a man, when he is about to die, he writes his last will and testament. He gives to his remaining family, to his children, those things that were most important, or even more than possessions. A dying man might give a parting bit of advice. How incredible, how moving is the thought. Our Lord died possessed, we might say, of nothing. He had been stripped of his garments. His heart was pierced with a lance. He shed his blood to the last drop. And yet, he still had that singular possession to give. Again, as we try to consider the goodness of Almighty God. What a mystery. How can we possibly understand? But we must say, yet again, somehow, he gave us his very death, all of his blood, his own mother, and somehow he still has something to give. Because it was only the night before, just before he began his passion, he offered the first Mass. He gave to his apostles the power to do the same. And it was in this instant and in this manner that he chose to give us everything. Because in the Mass, he gives us himself. There are books upon books written about our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Of course, books relating his earthly life. Commentators have written great volumes about sacred scripture and all of the words spoken by our Lord. But this is one that has this truth has occupied the minds of saints through all of these centuries and will until the end of time. The fact that our Lord made himself a prisoner. He condescended even more than he did in the incarnation, if this is possible. Because he hides himself under the appearance of bread, almost truly as a prisoner in our tabernacles. Can we begin to understand how much God loves us? Our Lord appeared to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, and this was nearly 17 centuries after his earthly life. And the message was still the same as we read in sacred scripture. Our Lord could hardly contain his love for us, because his message to Saint Margaret Mary was to hold his heart out, which was literally aflame. And he said, "Behold this heart which has so loved men as to forego nothing, even to the point of exhausting itself." And what was his request to Saint Margaret Mary? Simply, he wants our love in return. That is all. So, my dear friends, what has Almighty God taught us about charity? What has he taught us about love? First, we must understand through his practice of love, the way that he has proved overabundantly that he does love us He chose sacrifice. And this should teach us that love and sacrifice, at least in this life, are inseparable. They are almost one and the same thing. We cannot have love without sacrifice. This is such a terrible mistake made by, let's say, particularly young people, but it's a mistake, I believe, of which we are all guilty. We can fall victim so easily to that very human love, the idea of affection. The emotions try to tell us what love is, and so often it is so wrong. In fact, our emotions are driven by our fallen nature. It's our passions. More often than not, the emotions tell us that love is selfish, when exactly the opposite is true. True love is selfless. I'm sure that we can look into our own lives and see, where do we need to have an unselfish love? Where am I perhaps too reliant upon my emotions? Sometimes I say that I love God, of course, but if I'm having a bad day, if I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or if things aren't going right, do I let my emotions tell me what to do? Or am I ready and willing? Am I paying attention enough to say, I will love God. I will make this sacrifice. I will carry the cross. Love is always willing to sacrifice. As we continue with our retreat, I know that there's a lot of time for just simple silence. And that's okay. If we're fatigued by reading, if we don't feel that we have it in us to pray formally, that's fine. We can spend some time in quiet, though we want to spend our time well. But let us propose to ourselves a thought today after this conference. We have tried to think for a few moments about God's love. We have not even scratched the surface. The saints spent their lives in pursuit of God, knowing Him better so that they could love Him more. So let us make that our thought today. How much does God love me? What has He done in my life? Beginning at the moment of my birth, really try to think through your whole life of all of the incredible blessings, all of the proofs that God has given that He loves you. Maybe we can ask St. Mary Magdalene. Let us not forget that she was there at the cross. She knelt and watched that last drop of blood come from His side. Let us ask St. Mary Magdalene to help us to see God's love. And then we have to ask one simple question, and this will be our topic for tomorrow. Do I love Him? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.